Living God, help us to hear you now. Word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
I'm kind of thinking of those old movies from the South when everyone's sitting around doing this. The only thing missing are the big floppy hats. So a pastor and a soap maker went for a walk together. The soap maker had some very negative things to say about religion. What good is religion? Just look around you. What do you see? Trouble, misery, wars, even after all these years and years of preaching and teaching about goodness, truth, and peace. What good is religion with all its prayers and sermons if all this evil still exists? Well, the pastor kept quiet as they continued to walk, and then they noticed a child playing in the gutter. The child was just filthy with dirt and mud. The pastor said to the soap maker, "Look at this child. Now you say that soap makes people clean. But what good is it? With all the soap in the world, this child is still dirty. What good is soap after all?" The soap maker immediately answered, "But pastor, soap can't do its job if it isn't used." The pastor said, "The same is true with religion." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we wrap up the post-Easter series on the words of the risen Christ. The tomb is empty and Jesus is on the loose. And over the course of 40 days, Jesus had appeared to the women, to the 11, and to those two travelers on the road to Emmaus, and in each case speaking into their lives his words of peace, into their confusion, their grief, their guilt, their doubt, and their fear, words of assurance to those who have not seen yet believe, words of insight into his person through the scriptures and the breaking of the bread, words of challenge, "Do you love me? Then tend and care for my flock, for one another." Words of invitation to follow, to enter into a relationship with Christ and to embrace the lifestyle he lived. And so today we wrap up with Jesus' final instructions, essentially our marching orders. So as we begin this morning, I want to do a little liturgical lesson, because in the Christian calendar, there are seasons. The liturgical calendar begins with Advent and then follows from there with the Christmas season, followed by Epiphany, and then we enter the Lenten season. And then we enter Easter, and then we go to Pentecost, we wear red, and then a season of what's called Ordinary Time until we get to Christ the King Sunday and we start all over. Well, sandwiched right there between Easter and Pentecost, in fact, the week before Pentecost, is this Sunday called Ascension Sunday. It's the day the church observes the affirmation we make in the Apostles' Creed that says, "He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father." Now, if we wanted to be very technical about this, we would have all had to come together on Thursday to observe the Feast of Ascension, which maybe we should have since the air conditioner worked on that day. But so traditionally it is observed on Thursday because that's 40 days after Easter. However, it's often overlooked and it is placed on the Sunday before Pentecost. But it really needs a little attention because it's really necessary that Jesus ascended and returned to the Father. And we might wonder why. Well, John 14:12 tells us that in the Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Some prefer the word mansions, big dwelling places. and that Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we might be. So there's one reason he had to return to the Father to prepare a way for us. Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So Jesus has the ear of the Father. He advocates for us and prays for us. But lastly, Jesus had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit would come. In order for God's redeeming work to continue in and through the life of Jesus' followers, Jesus had to go to the Father. And so as he prepares to depart, he offers some final instructions, our marching orders. So I first want to look at that first reading that Denny did for us this morning from Acts chapter 1. And you find a similar conversation with Jesus in Luke 24 as well. But as we read, we find the disciples who are now apostles, because they are about to be sent, are asking the question basically every child has ever asked, are we there yet? They want to know if this is the time Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus says it's not for you to know this. It's only for the Father to know. And so he doesn't give them a date and a time to put on their calendars, but he does tell them to wait. They are to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And when it comes, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In this passage, Jesus is telling his disciples that their vision is too narrow. They are looking for Jesus to reestablish the kingdom of Israel, but Jesus has so much more in mind. He is sending them to be witnesses to the kingdom of God that has come in Christ to the world. A kingdom that is now and not yet is a kingdom of love and grace, justice, peace, mercy, forgiveness, and all the other riches of God. And it's not a kingdom confined to one national boundary, but for all people. Then in the verses that follow, we are told about the ascension of Jesus. And the disciples are standing there looking up. It reminds me of a story of a young football player who spent most of his time on the bench, and one day the coach sent him into the game. To his surprise, he blocked a punt, but he was so stunned he couldn't move. The coach yelled, "Don't just stand there, pick up the ball." Well, it was too late. The kicker had retrieved the ball, and the inexperienced player missed the opportunity to retrieve it and take it for the touchdown. So the apostles are standing there looking. Their vision is heavenward. But Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses. He's saying to them, as the angels are speaking, Jesus is gone. But don't stand there. The Spirit's coming. Pick up the ball and run. And we know they wait. And we know the Holy Spirit comes. They pick up the ball and they run. And on that very day, 3,000 will come to faith. And over the centuries, thousands more, inspired and empowered by the Spirit of God, will pick up the ball and run, bearing witness to the risen Christ. That's what happens in the Acts text. But then we turn to Matthew 28, because this is still part of our marching orders. In the Christian tradition, we have what is called the Great Commandment, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And we also have what is called the Great Commission, from Matthew 28:16-20. Here Jesus gives his disciples then and now a formula for what it means to be his witnesses. Jesus says, go. In other words, go evangelize and go to all nations. Don't limit yourself. And then make disciples. Incorporate them through baptism and teach and instruct. And we're all familiar with this commission. I'm sure you've heard a sermon on it from time to time. And the text is familiar. But sometimes we forget about what's on each side of that commission. And we need to look closely. Because Jesus begins by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It is by his authority that we are sent. Not on our own power, not on our own initiative, for our own purposes. It is Christ's initiative, Christ's power, and his purposes by which we are sent. And then Jesus says at the end, lo, I am always with you, to the end of the age. I love that. It begins with lower, behold. Pay attention to this, folks. Jesus is saying, I will be with you through all of this. Today and every day I am there. You know, I got to thinking, how often do you pray, Lord, be with me? Or how often do we pray for someone else, Lord, be with so-and-so, when we're praying for them? But this tells us Jesus is already with us. We need not pray for him to be there. And I've done this myself, and so lately I've been really focusing on that and trying to pray more specifically, Lord, make me aware of your presence. And also praying for others, help them to be aware of your presence in their situation. And so by Jesus' authority and with his presence, we are sent. And Jesus says first to go, to be evangelists. This is an awesome story. Rebecca Pippert, who was the author of Out of the Salt Shaker Into the World, I like that title, tells of a time she was sitting in her car at a traffic light with her window open. As the light turned green, a car drove by and its occupant threw something in her car, hitting her on the cheek. Now, it didn't hurt, but it startled her, such that she pulled over immediately. When she unrolled the paper, she discovered it was a gospel tract. She was the victim of what she referred to as torpedo evangelism. Folks, this is not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus wants us to bear witness to our faith. And we do that by living it out before others, letting our light shine, being salt in the world, and also by sharing our own stories of faith, what we know and what we have experienced about the love of God in Christ Jesus. The last verse of the song, Pass It On, comes to my mind. I was singing it while I was preparing the sermon. I wish for you, my friends, this happiness that I have found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you are bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. I want my world to know. The Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. Jesus tells us to go. And where are we to go? Well, into all nations. In Acts, it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as we see in both these texts, Jesus' love for the world is not limited to a particular people, not like us or any particular group, just everybody, all people, everywhere. So we may not be sent across the world, but we have increasing circles of influence with our families, our friends, our neighbors, and the people we meet when we're out in the community. We can bear witness. Then Jesus continues by saying we are more than witnesses as we bring people into the life of the church and we introduce someone to Christ. We incorporate them into the community through baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's really important to understand that baptism is not what we need to do to be saved. It is what a saved person does. It's an outward expression of an inward grace, marking our inclusion into the life of Christ and into the body of Christ. And then it doesn't end with baptism because the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. Because once incorporated into the faith, Jesus says, teach them. Now, not just teach them anything, but teach them all that I have taught you. This is what disciple-making is. It's not about information, but transformation and application to mature in faith. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not called to be a teacher. But we all know that teaching is more than book learning. Much of life is learned by following the example of others. We all teach through our actions, by our genuine friendships, praying with someone, showing kindness and compassion, forgiveness, living a life that is joyful. These are all teaching. In Scripture, making disciples is compared with sowing and reaping a harvest. And so some will prepare the soil, others will plant, others will water, some will keep the weeds from taking over. We all have a part to play. We're all teachers, and we are all learners, maturing in faith together. The ultimate goal is to reorient our thinking and living toward Christ. Because as we are influenced by Christ, we influence our culture for him. So the Matthew and Acts texts remind us that as followers of Christ, we're called to pick up the ball and run, to go and witness, to baptize, and to teach. You know, I found this story, and I even looked it up on Google to see if it was true, and there's mixed reviews, but it's still a good illustration. It's a story about a church in Atlanta, and a man noticed who was traveling in town a listing in the Yellow Pages under restaurants for an entry called Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused his curiosity, and he dialed the number, and the man who answered the phone said, "Hello, Church of God Grill." Well, the man asked how the restaurant had come across that unusual name, and the man on the other end said, "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. Well, people liked the chicken, and we did such a good business that we eventually cut back on the church service. After a while, we just closed down the church altogether and kept serving chicken dinners. We kept the name we started with, the Church of God Grill." Now, again, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a really good illustration because it's easy in this world for us to lose sight of the mission that Christ has called us to be the body of Christ, to witness to his grace, and to bring others into a life of faith in Christ. You know, as Jesus prepared to depart, he gave marching orders. He commissioned his followers to bear witness to his life, death, and resurrection, bringing others in. This week, as we wait, as the disciples waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, wear red. Until then, ponder these words of Christ in your life. Listen to Christ saying, "Peace be with you." Listen to that assurance that says to you, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Search the scriptures for the promises of God that are fulfilled in Christ and see him in the breaking of the bread and embrace the purposes that come from loving Christ, bearing witness to his name. And remember what the pastor told the soap maker, religion doesn't do its job unless it's used, and the same applies to Christ. So let's put Christ's words into practice and let them do their job. Thanks be to God. Amen.